homosexual movement is showing us that that's one of the signs that Jesus is coming back. Well, I have no idea. Usually when I do something like that, right after that, something comes out. And something has come out, and I'm going to give it to you tonight. And let's look in our Bibles. When the Lord was giving the signs of the times here, He was telling you what to look for so you'd know when you was in the last days. He don't leave you in the dark. God don't leave you in the dark. He fixes it so you can know. In Matthew chapter 24, if you'll turn there in your Bibles, He tells us what to look for. In Matthew chapter 24, they come and ask the Lord one day. They said, how are we going to know? How are we going to know when you're coming back? And He said, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. You're going to see this and you're going to see that. If you know anything about church history or world history, then you know what the Lord was saying here. And I'm going to ask you to get some scripture here. And also, I'm going to let you comment here tonight. We're going to do this like a big class. And then I'm going to tell you something that happened just a few weeks ago. Chapter 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, Noah in the Old Testament, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Now, what kind of a sign is that? Marrying and giving in marriage. I mean, people's always done that. So why did the Lord say that? People's always ate and drunk. Now, that ain't no sign, is it? It is when it gets to the excess and it becomes their God. He said, in other words, that and that generation would be characterized by eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Partying, wife swapping, swinging singles. Normal in our generation, perverts in the Bible. And what has become normal to our generation is perverted in the Word of God. Now, tonight, the Lord said that. Now, let me see. Where's the scripture where He said, as it was likewise in the days of Lot? I think that's in Luke, right? I'm going to get that scripture for us right quickly. And I want to show you what the Lord said. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of Man. And that's probably in Luke, right? Is that what we're looking for? Somebody got it? The Lord began to talk to him, and He told him about nation rising against nation, about kingdom against kingdom, about the time when He was getting ready to come back. And He said, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Somebody got it? Luke 17:28. There it is. He gives you the sign of Noah there again in verse 26. And then in verse 27, they eat, they drink, they married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Here's the last sign. Here's the last sign. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Now the day of Genesis 19. You go home tonight, read the entire chapter of Genesis 19. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Now you know this is not the rapture He's talking about. This is the revelation. The same day we go out in the rapture, it don't rain fire and brimstone. You say, how do you know? Look at the next verse, verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is what? Revealed. That's what revelation means. Revelation means reveal, the unveiling. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now if you were to go to, I noticed when you're coming, Brother White gives illustration. When you're coming down from Asheville, down Interstate 40, you see a sign up out there somewhere up the road there. It says Statesville. 80 miles or whatever. And you know that you're getting close to Statesville. Now you know that Marion comes before Statesville. And even though there are no signs for Marion, you say, well, Statesville's 80 miles and Marion's for Statesville, so it's got to be close. Now there are no signs in the Bible for the rapture. There are plenty of signs for revelation, the revealing of the Lord to this world at the end of the tribulation. Since the rapture comes before the revelation, then we know that we're close because we're seeing the signs of the revelation. I talked to a preacher down in Alabama, and he said this with tongue in cheek, and I hope you understand what he said. He said, I tell you what, he said, seeing the things we're seeing now, they're putting computer chips under people's skin to mark them when they're on probation. That's the next step, you know, put the mark right there, right here. They're putting, they're identifying truckers that way going across the country. The homosexual movement, the government movement to create a one world government, merging this NAFTA, all this stuff here about NAFTA, the free trade agreement, all that is to mix the whole world up into one thing where America has to depend on other nations for a living. There was a time when we could do without them. If they all quit overnight, America could survive. But we're getting to the point now where we're dependent on other nations. All that stuff is a sign of the Lord coming back. And what he said was, he said, I tell you what, man, if I it almost makes you wonder if your doctrine's right. He said, I believe we're in the tribulation. And it's close. It's close. We're there. We're there. The year 2000, less than 7 years from right now. Less than 7 years from right now will be the turn of the century. You ever thought about how the world's changed during this century? Have you thought about how much different the world was in 1900 as going to be in 1999? Never been a time like it. Never been a time like it. The Lord made the earth in 6 days and rested the seventh. Every one of them days represents 1,000 years. 1,000, 2,000, Abraham, 3,000, 4,000, Jesus dies on the cross, 5,000, 6,000. You know where we're at? 5,994. We're less than 6 years away from the end of the sixth 1,000 years, and the seventh day God rested. The 6 years, man. 6 years. Now, we don't know exactly how long the Lord's going to wait, but I'll tell you one thing. There's things going on right now that the Lord said would happen. I've got an article that I'm going to read to you tonight that took place in September of this year. This is in all kinds of Christian newspapers. This is the Flaming Torch Christian newspaper right now. It's also in the Sword of the Lord. It's fully documented. The phone numbers, everything, all this stuff happened in San Francisco 2 months ago, a little over 2 months ago. The homosexuals and lesbians surrounded a Baptist church. They beat the doors nearly in and injured people, tore up church property to protest a service, a Baptist church. And that guy didn't do nothing like I'd done here a few weeks ago. Nothing. As a man told me during the camp meeting, he said, I ain't trying to scare you. He said, preaching after that, he said, you better not go nowhere but yourself. I said, I go by myself all the time. He said, you better not. And you better not. And he said, buddy, they're out to get you. And I said, well, that's true. I understand that. But I'm telling you, if you don't believe we're living in the days that Jesus said, let's look back in Genesis 19 just a minute, and then I want to read you something. You say now, Brother Danny, why wasn't that on the news? That's going to be one of my points this evening. Isn't it odd that it wasn't on the news? Isn't it odd that CNN never showed what I'm getting ready to tell you? You think we ain't mixed up in a crooked world? This wasn't on ABC, on NBC, it wasn't on CBS. If 5 abortion protesters go to abortion clinic and beat a door down and hurt somebody and tore up property, do you think that'd be on the news? The news media is pro-abortion. The news media wants abortion to be legal. The news media, by and large, is pro-homosexual. Even the ones that claim to be neutral, it's the spirit that controls them, and they don't even understand why. Did you ever notice when somebody says, well, that's not. We better not report that because that don't fit in our society. It's politically incorrect. And I'm going to tell Gene one of these days, or I'm going to preach on it one, put on a sign, or I'm going to preach on it one. If you are politically correct, you are biblically wrong. If you are biblically correct, you are politically wrong. You can't be right politically nowadays and be right biblically. There was a time when you could be. Abraham Lincoln said he liked to hear a man preach like he's fighting bees. Abraham Lincoln said, when I hear a man preach, I want him to preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. Do you reckon Bill Clinton likes to hear a man preach like he's fighting bees? I doubt it. I doubt it. Do you reckon his praise? You know, now suppose there was a bunch of bees come out of the pulpit tonight, buddy. I wouldn't say, brethren, it seems that these precious creatures are upset with me. I'd be doing like that. Abraham Lincoln said that's the way a man ought to preach. If you go to a church where a preacher don't preach like that, you go to a wimp church. That's right. You reckon? Can't you see Bill and Hillary getting on the third row and saying, "Preach it, brother! Amen! Fight them bees!" I know not. I doubt it, don't you? That ain't going to happen. Can't you see Hillary getting in the Holy Spirit and shouting? That'll be the day, son. That'll be the day. I mean, I wish it would happen. I wish it would happen. Hillary get the baptism of the Holy Ghost or something. But it ain't going to, I'm afraid. I wish it would. But that's how far we changed in this country. They say, "Oh, you Christians, you're trying to impose your beliefs on us." This is the way the country's always been. They're the ones that's got all right. Somebody said not long ago, said, "Oh, these Christians, they're even trying to get in Christmas now." Can you imagine that? Brother, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be no Christmas. That's what it's all about, supposed to be. Well, they're putting their religious beliefs on us and trying to put that Bible in Christmas. Like Brother John mentioned a while ago, man, we're living in a society when the ACLU, that's an organization that fights anything that's right, is trying to get the manger scenes off of the courthouse lawn all over America. They think it's wrong to put up a nativity scene on the courthouse lawn, mixing church and state. I'll give you $1,000 if you can show me in the Bible or in the Constitution where the church is supposed to stay out of government. $1,000 cash. You say, "Well, the First Amendment said separation of church and state." It don't even mention it. Read the First Amendment. The First Amendment of the Constitution was not given to keep church out of government. It was wrote for the purpose of keeping government from imposing laws on the church. Keep their nose out of the church, not to keep the church out of government. Christians always been in government. We're living in a mixed up day. What I'm getting ready to read you is going to shape up. And I think there ought to be a national outcry that Ted Koppel ought to do a story and put the pastor on there and Diane Sawyer and Primetime and Hard Copy and whoever all them other news reporters, Tom Brokaw and CNN, and every one of them. They ought to do it. You know that religious guy up there, and he's up Wyoming or somewhere, I don't know where he was, and he held him off and had some guns and stuff, and they shot the man's wife and killed him here a while back, about a year ago? That's sure on the news. Why ain't this? Genesis 19. All right, Genesis 19. Now, you don't need to go take a course on how to understand homosexuality. It's right here in your Bible. If you say, "Well, how are we going to carry on dialect with these folks and understand their ways?" Read it right here in Genesis 19. God fixed it for you. Now, they entered the house, these two angels. Lot wouldn't let them stay in the street all night. Verse 4. But before they lay down, everybody looking at it? Look at your Bible. Share yours with somebody if they don't have one. This is prophecy, man. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." They wasn't talking about shaking their hands, neither. Know them. Sexual love. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. Watch it now. He shut the door. And he said, "Brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly." Oh, Lot, you're judging. How dare you call that wicked? They were born that way. That ain't what Lot said. Phil Donahue said, "I've got homophobia." He said, "Anybody that's against homosexuality is just dumb." And Whoopi Goldberg said we is dumb and stupid. And we have homophobia. We don't have homophobia. We have homonausea. It's a gene, see, that we're born with that makes us throw up when we think about it. And we can't help it, so don't judge us. We're born that way. "Behold now," he said, I have two daughters which have not known man. He has these two girls, man. This shows how desperate Lot was and backslid. I pray you bring them out unto you. Do you them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, those angels. For therefore came they to shadow my roof. He said, I brought them in here to keep them away from you perverts out there. All right, here they come. And they said, stand back. There's what homosexuality leads to. You say, well, I saw one on Harold, and he was so nice. Well, of course. You think they're going to put it in the right light on TV? Well, I'm going to read you why they are in just a minute. They say, stand back. And they said, this one fella came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. That's all they holler. You're judging. Don't judge us. Don't judge us. Now we'll deal worse with thee than with them. We'll burn the buildings down. We'll beat your door in. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Remember that right there, in light of what I'm getting ready to read you. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, and they wearied themselves to find the door. So these angels had to go out here and grab Lot from all these perverts that were out there and grab him and jerk him in. Jerk him in, or they would have pulled him in pieces. And they jerked him in here and shut the door. That's a picture. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. Think about what I read you. As it was in the days of Lot. What I'm getting ready to read you right now happened a little over 2 months ago. There had never been an incident like this that we know of ever. You say, well, there's always been homosexuality. I know it, but there's never been approved of and accepted and widespread like that is now. Here we go. The following events took place Sunday evening, September the 19th, 1993, around a regular scheduled 6 p.m. Sunday evening worship service of the Hamilton Square Baptist Church in San Francisco, California. Now, you are welcome. I'll stop a couple of times, and you're welcome to have me repeat some of this if you're to. This is a news release. Again, this hadn't even been mentioned on the news. If this ain't news, you tell me what is. Reverend Lou Sheldon of the Traditional Values Coalition was invited by the church to be the guest speaker. He was invited, I think there's an independent Baptist church, as far as I know, and he was invited to be the guest speaker. This man openly speaks out of her family values and traditional family, mother, daddy, and the mother's a woman, and the daddy's a man, and the kids. That's what he talks about. That's a family. Garth Brooks talks about his family values, but his family values can include members of the same sex. So Garth Brooks is about as far messed up as you can get on his family values. Don't let him fool you. You can be fooled, you know. All right. Only the church's membership and regular attenders were notified of the service through the church's own Sunday bulletin. No public notice or invitation was made in addition to this. They just put it in their bulletin. However, in the September 16, 1993 edition of the Bay Area Reporter, the meeting was announced in a front page article on the front of the paper in San Francisco using intemperate inflammatory language. A 3x5 ad on page 5 said, announced a protest of the Sunday night service. The church has no knowledge of how or from whom they obtained the information. I don't know about you, but I'd be checking up on who got it. That's the only people that knew about it. May have somebody, there may be something in the wood pile there in the church. The church received telephone calls during the week prior to the meeting demanding that the guest speaker should not come. Two people came to the church during that week asking to see the pastor. And speaking to the caretaker, notified him that you could not have Reverend Sheldon as a guest speaker and that they intended to stop him. It's an independent Baptist church saying, we're going to have a man in to preach and get calls all week saying, you ain't going to have him. We're going to stop it. Now, they're the same ones that say you should be tolerant. They're the same ones that used to say, open your heart, be broad-minded, be tolerant. You mark these people down that's always saying, be tolerant. They're the most intolerant people in the world. They won't tolerate anything they disagree with. You watch these people, it's always saying, we don't believe in censorship. We don't believe in censorship. Well, talk to them about hell and about judgment and see, they don't want that on there. The truth is, they want to cuss and talk dirty. And they don't want you to censor that. All right? Here we go. The church's pastor, David C. Innes, made at least 4 phone calls to the police station prior to the meeting on Saturday and Sunday after regarding the demonstration and expressed his concern for potential problems. He called the northern station immediately before the service and requested more backup police because he felt the situation was not under control. He was informed that no backup would be sent unless requested by the police that were present, and further, they had not requested it. Dr. Innes was told, quote, you must understand, this is San Francisco. Homosexual and lesbian demonstrators began gathering around the church property as early as 5 p.m. The police were notified by telephone of their presence. As people entered the building, demonstrators handed out flyers purporting to be published by the church. False flyers against trying to get people not to go in. These were also placed on automobile windshields in the immediate area. By 6 p.m., a riot was underway. The rioters assumed complete control of the exterior property and grounds of the church. In spite of several requests to have them removed, the officer in charge insisted that everything was under control and that police procedures and regulations would not allow him to do any more. Pastors John, Charles and Donna McHaney were refused entry by the rioters and told they could not enter the building. The doors were completely blocked by the rioters. Pastor McKinney held on to Donna, his wife, as they began to make their way through the mob who were shouting and screaming in their ears, you will not enter this church. You will not enter this church. The rioters assaulted them, pushing and shoving them, seeking to keep them from the door. One of them grabbed Donna's body, lifting her off the ground. Another put his arms completely around her and attempted to pull her back away from entry. She stretched her arms for help from a nearby police officer who offered no assistance. Her son, seeing she was in trouble, pleaded with the officers to assist her. The officers appeared so overwhelmed by the rioters that they were unable to take control of the situation. Both of her skin was broken, scratched on both hands. Finally, the church's caretaker grabbed her outstretched arms and pulled her through to the door. You want to remember what I read you in the Bible a minute ago? The church caretaker pulled this lady through the door. Just like the angel pulled Lot through the door. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. You say, well, that was in San Francisco. Well, that was just in Sodom. That wasn't in every city in the world. One city. The Lord said, when you see it again, I'm coming. The Lord may come before Christmas. Are you ready to meet Him? You know what would be the best Christmas present you could get? Go to heaven. And buddy, by the time this thing's over with, you're going to be praying for Jesus to come back. As they made their way past the police officers at the door, they were pelted by rocks, which also struck the window panes of the entry doors. Several members from Pastor McKinney's church were also accosted and had to flee to a side entrance. There they found the entry blocked and had to remain outside until the police arrived and let them in the building. Pastor McKinney's son Ryan and his friend were not able to enter the building. The rioters removed the Christian flag from the flagpole and attacked the homosexual flag under the U.S. flag. The church's caretaker removed both flags, but a rioter grabbed the homosexual flag and it was again run up the flagpole and a rope knotted out of reach. When the caretaker again attempted to remove the homosexual flag, he was assaulted and hit with eggs. Being pushed back, he was unable to reach the flagpole and return to the entry of the church. Much of the newly planted landscaping around the flagpole was damaged. One cement bench was pushed over into the fountain by rioters. When police were notified of this, they refused to respond. A second bench was dismantled and the seat thrown over the light well and destroyed. The rioters guilty of vandalism described this wanton destruction of church property as, quote, interior decorating. Paper messages were stuck to the handrails, walls, and windows of the building. A single parent who is a church member and her 6-year-old daughter were told they could not enter the building. The mother and daughter finally entered the building by passing through the rioters. The child was crying and terrified. The mother had also brought an elderly friend who was refused entry by the rioters. 20 minutes passed before she was able to get her friend into the service. Along with these, many others of the elderly and children were terrorized. To our knowledge, riot police were never called in by the officers present. They came only because the guest speaker left the worship service and called 911. The rioters were then removed from church courtyard area and property by the riot police. They then proceeded to the emergency exit on the west side of the auditorium where they, listen, pounded and kicked the doors seeking to break them down. You reckon the Lord is trying to tell us something? It's no accident that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot. Listen to me tonight, folks. If some of our grandparents come back and they see what was going on in this world tonight, they seen how corrupt it was, seen how people don't care about nothing no more, have no care for God or man or nothing. Listen, they would not believe the day you and I are living in. It just happened so gradual. Now listen, if abortion activist does this to abortion clinic, they ought to be arrested. Right? I mean, you don't have no right to destroy somebody's private property. You don't have a right to bust somebody's windows in or nothing like that. But I'm just saying, the news media is not being fair at all. The doors, they were seeking to break them down. This disturbed the service in progress so much that the service had to be temporarily discontinued. Imagine if we were in here tonight and they were beating on the doors out there with rocks and eggs and stuff while we're in here trying to have church. The officers present were immediately notified. The pounding was so loud that an elderly blind woman was terrified, thinking that it was gunshots. She began crying, feeling helpless and threatened. She was comforted by nearby church members. Due to the forcers' attempt to break down the doors, one of the exit doors was damaged in a major way, and the door jamb was broken. Rioters continued their demonstration standing on church property with their megaphone. The rioters then laid down in the intersection of the highway. They all laid down the highway, blocking all traffic, couldn't go in or out. Boy, I know some people that they better not lay down in front of. It'd be like Evel Knievel, man. And be on this floorboarding. See, but then they'll get you for murder. See? But we're living in a twisted day, man. Lay them down out in the road. And what if they were all laying out there over our parking lot when we come out of here tonight? You watch it. You watch it. You're not being nice. I didn't see. The rioters passed out the fraudulent flyers to the waiting vehicles and pounded on the vehicles of those attempting to cross the intersection. The police took no action to remove them for approximately 10 minutes. A woman demonstrator exposed her nudity to church members present in the area. One woman, a regular attender at our services, and her husband were hindered from entering the building by the rioters who had been moved to the sidewalk. When she entered the building, she was so terrified that one of the other ladies had to help calm her down. Another member stood across the street and did not enter because of fear of physical violence. As the service was concluded, the people were split into three groups. All of the children were clinging to their parents, frightened to leave the building. Two groups exited out emergency exit. One group waited and then exited the main entrance. The people shouted at and threatened by the rioters as they made their way to their cars, being called Christian bigots, hypocrites, fascists, homophobes, and other words obscene that you couldn't mention. The guest speaker was escorted by the police to the church van as debris pelted him from the rioters. Following his departure, the rioters began to depart and the riot police were dismissed. They shouted at the police, "You won't be here all night, but the church will be." Like they were going to come back and burn it down or something. Only one of two or three police remained to secure the building. The church's associate pastor, his wife and children remained inside. When this became known to the rioters, they returned in force to the church and began pounding on the front doors. The situation once again got out of control and he had to call 911 again. That's the pastor and the associate pastor and their family inside. The rioters saw children standing in the lobby. They shouted, "We want your children. Give us your children." Like the one when she's up in Washington, D.C., wanted Chelsea. They said, "We want Chelsea." The police asked us to move away from the entry. The pastor, associate, and family through another exit. A nine-year-old boy was crying in hysterics. They were after me. It's me they want. He did not come down until they were miles away from the building. One rioter broke a large address numbers off the face of the building and attempted to remove others without success. A citizen's arrest was made on this individual. The person making the citizen's arrest was verbally threatened by the rioters. In all of this malicious disruption, not one single arrest was made by police outside of one citizen's arrest. The church's property was not secured, and the fundamental rights of the worshipers were not protected because they were told the Board of Supervisors would never support the measures necessary to do so. Upon leaving for the final time, several of the rioters said, "We will be back." Numerous obscene and threatening phone calls have been received at the church following the riot. That's in America, 2 months ago. Never mentioned on the news. Buddy, we're in trouble. That means two things. That means two things tonight, and we're going to close and pray a little bit. Number one, that means you'll never know what's going on in this world just by listening to the news. I'll tell you a way to know what's going on in this world. Travel around a little bit. Read your Bible and then travel. What you see on TV ain't the way it really is out in real life. And number two, far.